And we turn again to the Gospel of Luke, this time in chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke 10, 38. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. And Martha was comforted about much service, came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And I'm sure we are acquainted with the verse that follows. Last evening, those of us who were here, we sought to speak about the good seed of the Word of God, how we were to have complete confidence in it, no matter who we were speaking to. With regard to who, we want to turn it round the other way. Taking up that phrase the Savior used concerning Mary, she had chosen that good part, that good portion. To bring before us the thoughts of the good portion of listening to the Word of God ourselves. It's not a question of having confidence in it this afternoon, it's giving it to others. It's applying it. It's giving it value. And feeding upon it ourselves individually. And the Savior describes that as the good portion that Mary had chosen. Once again, as in several places in Luke, it is a woman who chosen to set example to suppose brethren and sisters of us. And she has chosen that place of submission, recognizing the need, and a willingness to give priority to having that need met by sitting at the Savior's feet and listening to his word. You know the story perfectly well. There are certain jobs to be done in the house. The Savior's come there for a reason. And certain work has to be done with the necessity of providing for the running of the household. Notice that little word also in verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Mary had done her part that day in the necessary work in that household. She hadn't given up her responsibility in order just to listen to the Word of God. She had done that which was her duty to do, that which was necessary to do, and having done that, discharged her responsibility. She then gave priority above everything else to listening to the voice of the sick. Martha, on the other hand, we read, was comforted. The same expression as we have in Hebrews 12 concerning the weights that so easily beset us, hindering us in the race we wanted us to have to run. Martha was weighted down by that which, according to Hebrews 12, she should have put off, being cumbered with things that were not necessary, but were the thrill, the but didn't have to be done, and could have been put to one side. Things that were hindering her in the spiritual race, as Hebrews 12 has it, because they were stopping her listening to the voice of the Savior. Now that's the difference in these two systems. I want to be clear, Mary had not shunned her responsibility, but she had her priorities right, and the thrills of life, the extras that weren't necessary, in her way of reckoning things up, had to be put to one side, and priority given to listening to the words of the Savior. I wonder how it is given up. See, very honest today, are covered with all kinds of things that are not necessary. Living in a materialistic age, believers are being weighted down by things that stop us running in the race, things that stop us spending time listening to the Word of God, to the voice of the Lord, to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Our homes, not to live in them. We have to keep them, maintain. And they are necessities. But they can become the prize of our existence. We can be spending all our time adorning them and decorating them and improving them. That's what Martha was doing. We have God. And as believers, we must keep them from being a jungle. We must keep them respectable. But they can become the beginning and all of our life. And we spend hours on them that should be spent in spiritual things and listening to the voice of the Savior. And sisters can be the same. Sisters can spend so much time on the things that are the thrills of life and things that go beyond the necessities, that take up time that should be spent listening to the voice of the Savior and engaged in His service. Brethren and sisters, one is convinced that this is one of the things that is hindering the prosperity of the Lord's work in this land. That the thrills of life are taking over and the things of the Lord and listening to the voice of the Lord is getting put in the background. That which Martha did. And the Spirit of God will challenge our hearts this afternoon as to how much we are really going in for the good portion, that good part that Mary valued and ordered her life in the right sense of priority so she could give the Lord time to speak to her. Now, it is a matter of discipline in the individual life. Because we live in a day when the pressures of these things will come in upon us and drive out from our lives time spent in listening to the voice of the Lord, listening to the Word of God as the Spirit brings it home to us. These things do not come automatically to us as salvation. We're not automatically changed so that we give priority to the right thing. The power, the potential is within us of doing that. But we have to discipline our lives, discipline our minds, discipline our time, discipline our valuation of things, that we give priority to the good part and only spend time on necessities. Apart from that, what a transformation it would make to the lives of many of us if we put this into practice. What a transformation it would make to the companies of God's people. What a greater time will be spent in the study of God's Word. Someone was saying at lunchtime, that those who don't feed upon the Word of God, one worries about them, just like you worry about children who don't feed. That is true. Mary was giving priority to getting the right food that would make her grow in the right way, that would bring her in some measure into conformity to the mind and character of the Lord. And this feeding that she went in for, this good part, was the only way she could develop like that, into knowing the mind of the Lord and following His example. And when the people of God do not feed upon the Word of God, then they don't grow spiritually. They are unable to react to situations in the way the Lord reacted to situations. They're unable to know His mind and will in the circumstances of life. They don't grow more into the likeness of our Savior. So these are very practical things. But the Word of God was meant to be that which we value and prize and went in for our privilege in this matter. Even as Mary weighted down the path. Mary carried out the necessity. And we all have to do this, brethren and sisters alike. Brethren have a responsibility to bear their share in the necessities of life in their home. Scripture never says that no son is to turn his back on the family responsibility. Looking after the children and the house, duties of the house. But he bears his share. And then his priority in everything else, the learning the word of God, seeking the mind of the Lord, and imparting that to others. Mary finds herself with the Lord's place that speaks of subjection. That place that speaks of a willingness not just to listen, not just to hear, but to obey what she hears. And she is pictured here as one to whom the word of God is coming and is entering her physical ear, so to speak. And as the Saviour says elsewhere, it's sinking down into her ears. It's molding her. It's bringing her into conformity with his will. She's imbibing it. This means something so precious to her that it's becoming part of her. And she's willing to submit to his every claim, his every demand. Whatever he requires, she there at his feet is submissive to his will, utterly and completely. So the word of God is not just something that's to be treated academically. It's not something that's just to be learned in the textbook. It's something that's to be allowed to be imbibed as necessary food and mold me and cause me to grow into the likeness of the one I've been listening to. How important that is. That I'm to be in subjection to the word of God. We're living in a day when many are not in subjection the word of God. When so often hears phrases like, I think this and I think that and the other, or we think this and that, and the word of God is given second place. There was no room for that in the family of God. We are each one to take our place in picture at the Savior's feet and be in complete submission of heart, willingly, deliberately, prepare to bow to his claims as his word is unfolding to us. Maybe unexpectedly, as we thought last time. You may be called upon to do things we never thought we'd be called upon to do. First of all, we have to submit to his teaching of the word of God in all its fullness. Because the word of God is just as applicable to us today as it was when it was written 1900 years ago. The word of God was written, taking into account the circumstances in 1991. He knew just what the circumstances will be, and he will apply it to the day if we are open to his voice being still. Mary here is pictured in that way. Her ear open, submissive to the one given time. Of course, Luke pictures the Savior as a man who is just the same thing that he knows. And one of whom the psalmist speaks, whose ear was open, calling by thought. This is the one who really digs for the word of God, that his God is a perfect man. And he's pictured throughout Scripture as the man moving according to the word of God, insufficient to the word of God. His ear ever open, moment by moment, never to do anything that is contrary to the word of God. The Savior doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't done himself. As a perfect man, listening, his ear open continually to the word of his God. And there he is pictured, brethren and sisters, in just the same way. We should take care. The good heart says the Savior. Good. Now Luke refers to this in other words before the dissertation. One's thoughts in taking out Luke in this way was to try and bring themes that Luke makes cause you to regroup from a different angle. But he refers to certain lines of teaching on more than one occasion in the Gospel, and then on through the Acts. Thus, for instance, in chapter 6, he already taught this truth in the parable of the building of the house upon the rock and upon the sand. When there were those who said, who called him Lord, but they didn't act as though he was Lord. In other words, they called him Lord and took his name as Lord upon their lips, but they didn't let his words sink down into their hearts. They weren't devoting time to realizing what it meant to call him Lord and put that into practice. And he gave them the parable. You know that the wisdom of listening to his word and obeying his word, like the wise man with his house upon a rock that could not be moved, no matter what the troubles of life and the disappointments and the tragedies of life came along, or the opposition or persecution, the one who had his ear open to the word of God and obeyed it was laying a foundation that would enable him or her to stand in days of the utmost stress. Who brings us back of the importance now of giving time to the Word of God to be brought before us by the Savior and by the Holy Spirit? That without this we have no real foundation in life, no foundation in our spiritual life. And when the troubles of life and the pressures of life come along, these are the believers who do not stand under it, because they haven't got the foundation that comes from hearing the voice of the Savior applying the Word of God to my heart and obeying it, putting it into practice in times of peace, in times of prosperity, so that when times of trouble come, then I have a base that I will not be moved from. This is why we see perhaps so many today who are so easily swayed from pathways pleasing to the Lord. So easily we say backslide. But if they are real believers, then they never really let the Word of God grip them. They never open their hearts to the application of His teaching in all its fullness, the day-to-day circumstances. So that when problems come, then Savior gave that parable not just to be preached in a gospel said last night. It goes far deeper than that. Is that the wise child of God, however young they may be or however old they may be, will build their life day by day, their individual life, their family life, their business life, as well as their assembly life, will build it upon responding to the teaching of the Word of God. And not upon anything else. Not upon what men may say or men may write or what educated people may say, but they'll build it upon the Word of God if they want to prosper in any sphere or every sphere of their life, so that they can stand in any circumstance. They can gain it so that people like you and I might be called to make wise decisions. Wise decisions. That we base all we do upon the Word of God. That we allow it to sink down into our ears, into our life, so that it becomes part of our being, so that when trouble comes, we don't start coming through the Word of God to try and see what we should do, but the Spirit of God will automatically bring it to our remembrance, so that we know then what we should do. Because we based our lives upon listening to the Spirit of God and obeying. And every time I read the Scripture, whether listening to it in public or reading it in private, it should not just be a routine listening and reading, but there should be an allowance, a deliberate allowance for the Holy Spirit to move in me and teach me that which will form a basis for life
and for his glory. The Savior says it's the wise believer, not just the wise sinner, the wise believer does that, and then they will be in practice acknowledging him as Lord. Acknowledging him as Lord means bowing to his word as Mary did. It means letting him control, letting him be, guess what, letting him be master. So often we take the name of Lord upon our lips, and yet we don't hear what he says. And we're not listening to what he says. And we're not allowing what he says to become part of us and hold our very life. All this to say to the wise person, the one who listens, and the one who obeys. And like we said last night, Luke goes on in the following chapter, in chapter 7, to speak of illustration of the blessing that came to the one who hears the centurion listen to the word of the Savior. He had confidence in it, and his servant is healed. The Savior speaks of a young man on the pier at Nain, and the young man listens even in the grave, and he prays. Luke delights to bring the blessings that follow those who listen to the word of God in chapter 7. And we could go on through the book of the Acts. They that gladly received his word were baptized in chapter 2. That's the first step that I trust all believers here have taken following salvation, being baptized by immersion. And then they prove the reality of it. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the apostles teaching the word of God. It wasn't just a belief in it for salvation. They were like Mary. They listened to the voice of the Savior. It was a good path that they showed and they'd taken. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And everyone who's received into assembly fellowship should give really evidence that they are prepared to submit to the teaching of the word of God. Continuing steadfastly, showing a submission to the teaching of the word of God wherever it was going to be. And you go on through the book of the Acts, the prosperity, the way the word of God prospered. And then you believe the preaching of the word and they went on to prove it. That's the tale of the book of the Acts. But then again, you do. You remember in chapter 8, the Savior said that those who were, what were his words? My mother and my grandchildren are those that hear the word of God and do it. And he's talking there when his mother, after the flesh and his brothers, after the flesh had come to him and claimed relationship and privilege because of that, he said, those who are really my mother and my brethren are those who hear my word and obey it. They're the ones I'm on intimate relationship with. They're the ones who've been brought into the circle of intimacy with me. Those who hear my word and do it. And the same thought comes again later on in chapter 11. Taken up there again. That's a very solid thought, you know. But we are all in the family circle of God the moment we believe. Nothing can ever take us out of that circle. But there are levels of intimacy, of fellowship within that circle. And the Savior clearly said that if we're going to know the relationship with him, the intimacy with him, that he wants us to know, it must be based upon listening to the word and his word and the bowing. It's only those who are prepared to take the same line as he took here upon earth as a perfect man, and follow his example, his only step, that he can have true fellowship and communion with. Where we're moving in the same pathway as he did, where our thoughts are on the same line as his thoughts are, where we're seeking to move according to the same word that he moved, Savior says, if you want to know the intimacy, who's available to be free child of God, then you must be among those who not only hear, with a physical ear, but are prepared to give priority to his faith and to listen to his word, profound truth, and to know the blessing that will follow. Remember the words in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you greatly or abundantly or in all circumstances. The word of a risen one now, not the word of the one given on earth, whom Mary was speaking to, but a risen, glorified Christ wants us to bow before him, even as men, and to take the good part of this spiritual world. After all, as Paul said to Timothy, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for the doctrine of sin, that the man of God or the woman of God might be truly furnished unto every good work. That's what the pathway, or where the pathway that Mary was taking, trying to lead her to. Be truly perfect, completely equipped, unto every good work, fulfilling everything that God would have to do. And it was through the scripture, through hearing, giving priority, giving time, through absorbing his word, and letting it mold. Writing to Timothy, Paul says that's your only resource. It's the only thing that can equip. It's the only thing that can develop the godly character in you. It's the only thing that can meet your needs as a believer. It's the only thing that will bring you into the family circle. Giving the word of God is right place. That good part. We could have gone on to say, Mary took that good part of listening to his voice. And that was essential. If the child of God, chapter 11, is going to be able to approach you in a proper way in prayer. That's why the two chapters run together. Remember, as we said last night, Luke hasn't written in chronological order. And the things are placed here by the Spirit of God. If I'm going to come before my God in prayer and expect to be heard, I must be one who's been prepared to listen to his voice. Give him the place that he demands and allow his word to affect him in the way he wants it. Then and then only provide the right to come before him with petition. That's why chapter 10 comes before chapter 11. The one who's taken up that good part, that place of subjection and listened to his voice, and then has the right to come before him and be able to ask, knowing that we can ask in his name. Because we listen to his word and know what his mind is. Or may we be encouraging to us. Make sure we only deal with the necessities of life, with the side with frivolities and the extras and the thrills. Allow the word of God take priority in the heart. Glorify them.